The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Monday was a bit of a day off, I guess, in NFL free agency. We had a couple of wide receiver signings that we'll talk about, but we've got a big show for you today on Fantasy Football Today because we have a great guest. That is Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers. Mike's going to give us his thoughts on free agency, and I have a surprise segment for Mike. So that is always surprise your guests. Don't let them prepare. Yeah. That's hosting 101 right there. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, man? I appreciate the invite. Two-time champion now of this show.
That's right. Yes, and Jamie is like a 500, I don't even know more than that. You think you've been on 1,000 shows, Jamie? Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Man, you're at least.
Yep. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yet again, I'm here and there's no Dave, so I think, look, once, okay, twice, this is a trend.
It's past his bedtime. It's 8 o'clock right now.
Mike, I have to ask you a question just coming off the show that we did last night. Is it okay to have a poster in your room at any point in any age of a movie that you never saw?
No, I didn't. Come on.
Never have seen in completion.
Yeah.
You've never seen the movie and you're repping the poster behind you. Yeah. That's egregious. Yeah, what are you doing?
I know. Yeah, it was Pulp Fiction.
What was the movie?
Pulp Fiction. I've never seen it start to finish. You know,
I'm sure this was quite a discussion, so I'll let it go. But that is horrifying.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, Mike, you can follow him on Twitter at FFHitman. Also, of course, listen to the Fantasy Footballers podcast. And the 2021 Ultimate Draft Kit is available now on their website. What do we get with the draft kit?
So the draft kit is, it launches on June 1st, you know, all the rankings, sleepers, breakouts, the usual stuff, and our the consensus rankings are in there, but the consistency, you know, looking at how good was a player actually on a week-to-week basis, we stress the holistic approach. Don't just fall in love with, you know, player X finished at wide receiver 6. You're like, okay, well, was he actually good? And a bunch of other stuff. And we've jumped into the dynasty game. So the UDK Plus is available and you can get into dynasty content right now.
Great. All right. Check it out on the website.
That's awesome.
And Mike, first question for you. How is your bracket doing?
Oh, I didn't make one, suckers. Doing great.
Yeah, very lucky.
But I've been following it. Apparently, it really has been March Madness this year.
It really has. It has been awesome. And we have, about 800 people in our pool, Ben? Something like that? 890.
They were at 890. This morning, Heath was in second place. I don't know about now.
No, he's not. I'm in 150th place, 148th. That's not that bad. And I have a terrible bracket. So, yeah, it has been fun. Okay, second question. Is Chase Edmonds going to be the starting running back for the Cardinals this year?
Nope. He's not. He'll be involved. He'll probably be more involved than last year. I still don't know if it's they're going to bring in one of these the remaining free agents. I don't know if they'll draft a guy. The Cardinals don't really have a bunch of draft capital anymore. I mean, they just sent their third off for Rodney Hudson, and they're missing some other stuff as well. But it feels like Cliff and the squad over here are not willing to turn it over and give at least not give Chase the Drake level of work. Like I said, bump it up to be more of a 50-50 timeshare, but I can't foresee that Edmonds will actually be the dude.
Okay.
What do you think the best case scenario is of the free agents? Connor at this point?
Oh man.
The worst thing would be Todd Gurley.
Well, Todd Gurley would be best case scenario for Chase Edmonds because it's just,
In that case, yes.
I think Gurley's he is a victim of the NFL. I was really hoping it was going to be Jamal Williams. I thought Jamal coming down here would be perfect, but unfortunately, he had to go.
I was hoping once he signed, it was Lindsey.
Yeah, we were pulling for Lindsey as well. I mean, we are really running out of names of any actual note and value.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Because you said that he's out in Arizona. That's why I asked Mike this question in particular. He's got a Phoenix Suns hat on if you're watching on YouTube.
That's right.
But it seemed like Cliff Kingsbury is at least saying that he could pull it off. That Chase Edmonds could be the starter. You're not really buying that.
Don't listen to Cliff.
Okay.
Do not listen. I mean, before free agency was like kind of opening up, Mike Davis was a name that was being floated around here. So I think if Davis comes in, it would be a pretty 1-2 punch as well. And then like low key, I don't know how Adam's gonna feel about this, but low key, if Wayne Gallman came here and was paired with Chase Edmonds, give him on the cheap, as a Cardinal fan, look, I'd be fine with it.
The Gallman. So do you think
that's a superhero for him, by the way.
Wayne Gallman?
Yeah.
Well, Gallman.
Oh, Gallman.
Yeah. No. sure.
He makes a face, there's a whole shtick. It's
I guess the question is like,
we're very high end here.
Yeah, that's the level of our production. last question on Edmonds. Do you think he'll have a bigger role in 2021 than he had in 2020?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely think it'll be a bigger role. It'll be frustrating every once in a while. You'll think you had the guy, and then the next game it'll be disappointing for you.
That week 9 game against Miami, man, is going to bother a lot of people. You know, 25 carries, 70 yards. Like, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bust. All right. So let's talk about free agency. Give me your biggest winner in NFL free agency.
So, man, we just did our another footballer's talking free agency of like, it's been kind of bleh, you know, we're boring and not, it hasn't been very spicy. Like, honestly, the biggest winner is Aaron Jones of getting a contract of pretty substantial value. Like, he got enough money that when he's done, he'll be paid nicely. And his fantasy value is fully intact, that he's going to be a top 5 running back. His passing work is probably going to go up with Jamal Williams out of town. So, like, biggest winner to me is Aaron Jones. If you want to talk about someone who's like the scenario around him changed drastically, my biggest winner will be Terry McLaurin, as you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is the fantasy football superstar. Fantasy football players love Ryan Fitzpatrick, and for good reason. I mean, like, the dude's got swag levels that are just immeasurable, and he's willing to go down the field. We don't have Alex Smith checking it down to JD McKissick 15 times a freaking game. We have someone who will actually stretch the field. And on top of that, now he's got Curtis Samuel. He has an actual real high level number two on the other side. So you get those two guys and Antonio Gibson with a, like, I'm not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick's elite. He's not an elite quarterback, or he would be able to hold on to a job for more than a year and a half, but he's good for fantasy football. So person who, like, this scenario has really changed, it's Terry for me.
Jamie, it's interesting. People have different views on adding that second wide receiver. Let me throw it back to Mike, actually, to make more sense. Why is it not bad, I guess, for McLaurin that they added Curtis Samuel? McLaurin had a 24% target share last year. So you think he's a winner, even though the quarterback upgrade's huge, but you're not concerned about the Samuel addition.
No, I mean, I think he can still sustain that 22 to 25% target share. Like, Curtis Samuel's not going to come in and steal that away. They were still throwing to other players, but I'm a big believer in the better offense. I want, and especially when a team has like two main options. I know Logan Thomas is there, and Logan Thomas is getting disrespected incredibly over this offseason for what he did last year and what he could continue to do. But now you have two main guys, right? You don't have three. You don't have the dreaded four. So just the fact that the offense is better, more scoring opportunities, a defense has to respect Curtis Samuel. If you look back where the way that Ron Rivera used Curtis Samuel was not really like he was. Samuel was used last year during the breakout. He was the nine route guy. He was the guy who was always stretching the field so Kyle Allen could miss him, underthrow him, overthrow him, and we all just freak out and get really mad every single week. But there's another field stretcher. So the fact that you can't focus all your attention on shutting down Terry McLaurin and that the Washington's going to score more points, and Washington's going to be really, really fun, and I think they're going to dominate the NFC East.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry, they are. You know they are.
I think the thing you got to look at is, you know, in terms of where McLaurin's targets should come from, and Curtis Samuel's probably more important where his targets come from. You know, they allowed the four quarterbacks they had last year to throw 601 times, you know, and Fitzpatrick at this point, even though he's clearly at the tail end of his career, Alex Smith was coming off a broken leg and missing all that time. We know what Dwayne Haskins was, you know, Taylor Heineke and all the stuff that he's gone through. And then Kyle Allen for the time that he played. So if they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 550 or above, which I think is probably the case, knowing that they'll probably trust Fitzpatrick a little bit more, as crazy as that sounds, that, you know, we talked about this. I'm sure you guys have as well, Mike, that, you know, Fitzpatrick's track record from Stevie Johnson to Brandon Marshall to Devontae Parker, you know, to whenever he's had a guy, he's focused and featured that guy. And Terry McLaurin is in that stratosphere of guys that he's thrown to, you know, so in some cases better, in some cases on par. So I think, you know, Samuel will get his opportunities, but McLaurin, I don't know where you have him ranked, Mike. He's around seven for me.
Nice.
Of format. I think he's got top 10 upside.
So high. So high.
Terry McLaurin's got the ability. And like, you can look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and Alex Smith last year. They threw the ball almost identical, 267 attempts and 252 attempts. But look how much better Ryan Fitzpatrick was. Almost 30 more, or more than 30 more first downs, a yards per attempt, multiple yards higher than Alex Smith. Like, this is big time for Terry. And I, who knows, like, fingers crossed, maybe we get a situation where we got the Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker situation from the Jets, where you have two really high level fantasy wide receivers.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, you know, I know you said Logan Thomas getting disrespected. Fitzpatrick just doesn't have that track record with tight ends. You know, he had the 1 year in Buffalo with Scott Chandler. He had Gesicki. You know, those guys, you know, probably Thomas is in between, I would say, in terms of, you know, talent and skill level. But he doesn't throw to his running backs the same way like Alex Smith does by any stretch, you know. So that's where I think Curtis Samuel wins is, you know, as we've said time and time again, they didn't have a second receiver, wide receiver with more than 48 targets. That is double, you know, is where Curtis Samuel should live at least.
Okay, who's your biggest loser in free agency? McLaurin, your big winner. Who's your biggest loser in free agency, Mike?
Oh, man, let's see here. My biggest loser so far. Oh, yeah, never mind. I just had to run through the list really quick. Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
And Kenyon Drake. Like, I wish I could come in with a hot take and be like, wow, no one's looking at it from this angle, except Josh Jacobs was a running back one. And now, when are you even going to draft Josh Jacobs? Like, are you going to draft him in the fourth and be happy? Because if you draft him in the fourth, you're bypassing really high-level wide receivers for a guy that just saw his backup get, what was it, $11 million guaranteed? And meanwhile, three-fifths of the starting offensive line are gone? Like, what are the Raiders doing? This is buffoonery in Las Vegas.
I think that's the consensus big loser is the Raiders backfield. Yes. So I just
and
I,
we're right. I'm we're all right.
Yeah. But I'm going to take this opportunity to just point something out. I love giving this statistic. You think Washington's going to win the NFC East?
That is correct.
Yeah. You know the last time a team won the NFC East back to back years?
I don't care.
Yeah, well, it was almost back when the Cardinals were in it. It was 2004. Oh. Okay, so it never happens. It was Donovan McNabb. They won it 3 years in a row, 2002, 3, and 4. Hasn't happened since then. Whoever you think is going to win the NFC East, do not bet on that team because it's not going to happen. You are welcome, Mike.
Now I know they made the playoffs, but did it feel like Washington actually won the division last year? I feel like you got an outlier situation where maybe they didn't really win it. Everybody else just lost it.
That's actually a pretty good point. All right, I could jump on board with that. Listen, everybody, the madness is underway. You may be wondering, how do I actually watch all these games? What's on CBS? What's not on CBS? Where's Duke? They're not there. Relax, though. It's easy. Go to the CBS Sports app on your connected TV or phone, and from there you'll see every tournament game available to watch, whether it's on CBS or March Madness Live. Think of it like a gateway to all the action. So download the CBS Sports app right now. Never miss a minute of the NCAA tournament. All right, here's our surprise segment.
Yes.
It is called Mike's Most Provocative Tweets. I went through your timeline.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was hoping for some free agency hot takes or something like that.
Oh, I don't tweet about football. That's dumb. That's for the birds.
Well, I do have your cereal tweet in here, so we'll get into that from National Cereal Day a few weeks ago. But on March 15th, you wrote free agent Menzy. Am I right? M-E-H-S-N-Z-Y. Oh,
that's a good tweet. That is a good tweet.
Very provocative. Here's March 17th. Now, this one I like. Cardinals trading for Raiders center Rodney Hudson. So you like that one.
Yeah, because that was a follow-up to right before that in the day. We had signed A.J. Green, and that was we were a very divided office on A.J. Green coming into town. If it, like,
really?
It's hard to spin A.J. Green as positive of the statistics. You're like, well, look at the beginning. You know, oh, he was getting all those air yards. He was receiving but look at all these uncatchable targets that A.J. Green was receiving. You're like, okay, well, at a point, was it A.J. Green's fault that these were not catchable targets? Because everyone else on the team seemed to be able to get open and do well with Joe Burrow. So that's we were very pumped for Rodney Hudson after A.J. Green kind of left me scratching my head.
Out of the fantasy angle, though, if you just look at it from a Cardinals fan perspective, did you like the A.J. Green signing? Or was that what you were just talking about?
No, yeah, I don't like it really for fantasy, and I don't like it for Arizona. Okay. I mean, look, he could still have it maybe if a year back after getting back into football shape. It could work out, but this feels like a classic Arizona bring in old veteran that doesn't work out, and we're really taking our shot this year of bringing in veterans and hoping that they're all going to hit.
I wish they would make Green like a big slot receiver. And
yeah, but he's going to be outside, and Kirk will go in the slot.
Yep.
Well, Jamie, you're not going to believe this one. Most provocative, okay. Mike Wright tweet. He was giving his selections for four separate tiers of cereal. This was a DraftKings tweet. It's national. It's National Cereal Day. There's plenty of goodness to choose from.
As long as it's not Cracklin' Oatbran.
No, and that didn't even make the cut. But smart, which cereals are making your tiers line up? So you have to pick one from each tier. I personally think Mike got only one of these right. He got a 25%, but we'll see what Jamie thinks.
Ooh. I'm going to guess the other 75 are right.
No, I don't think so. You know what? Yeah, all right. So Jamie, you can pick. I'll tell you what Mike picked after. Tier one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Reese's Puffs, Lucky Charms, and Frosted Flakes. Which are you picking there?
I have been on a Frosted Flakes kick for several weeks now, so that would have been my selection.
Okay, I think Mike got it right. Mike, what'd you pick?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. Frosted Flakes? That was the first one when you said it. That was the one I was going to take until you got to Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I don't know how Reese's Puffs got in tier one, but I think I like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch pick. I think most people would have gone with that. Tier two, Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies, Honey Nut Cheerios, and Fruity Pebbles. Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies, Honey Nut Cheerios, Fruity Pebbles. Interesting that they went with Fruit Loops and Fruity Pebbles in this tier. Jamie, what would you pick?
I had two bowls of Fruit Loops this morning. So.
Wow, how much cereal do you eat, bro?
My man.
All right, so two votes for Fruit Loops. Both wrong. It was Honey Nut Cheerios was the right answer.
That would have been my second choice. But that shouldn't be in the same tier, though.
It's a tier above?
No, it's a tier below.
Yeah. All right. Tier three, Cocoa Puffs, Apple Jacks, Kix, and Cap'n Crunch. Cocoa Puffs, Apple Jacks, Kix, Cap'n Crunch.
Mm.
That's a good tier. I'd probably go Apple Jacks.
What did you? Oh,
I went with Kix.
Kix.
That was the debate in my head.
I went with Kix. And I knew that the, I feel like the support for Kix is just, it's not what it should be. It's very underrated.
So this is one of those.
I love cereal. Apparently. I can eat cereal every meal of the day. And my kids are very anti-cereal.
Oh,
except really? I can get them to eat Kix when it has the Paw Patrol Kix.
Oh, so very nice.
That's you want the Paw Patrol cereal. Oh, they'll have the Paw Patrol cereal.
Hey, look, we're talking cereal, and this is hashtag not a sponsor. Have you had Magic Spoon?
No.
Oh man,
it is so good. Oh my gosh.
Yes, it's legit. Okay. It's very, very good, and it's not the same garbage that other cereal's made out of.
Magic Spoon, okay.
This should be a sponsor, though, because it's like $10 a box, and I would love a free box. So,
and I also would like to sponsor Magic Spoon.
All right.
if we're raising our hands.
Yeah, Magic Spoon for everyone. All right, so here's the thing about Tier 3. It was Cocoa Puffs, Apple Jacks, Kix, and Cap'n Crunch. I've never had Kix, and I just thought like that was a terrible... Like, they look like they're bad. So this is one of those things where I hated it without ever trying it. So I apologize for that.
They're sweet.
They don't look
sweet. It's a corn puff and with a hint of sweetness on it.
It's a picture of corn on the box. Like, who wants to eat a vegetable for breakfast?
Yeah, I get it. The branding is not ideal when they're trying to compete against the frogs and the tigers all selling their cocaine cereals. But Kix is good.
All right, so I think I would have gone with Apple. Yeah, I probably would have gone with Apple Jacks there. And tier four, Raisin Bran, Frosted Mini Wheats, Corn Flakes. I mean, this is the most egregious pick from Mike. Raisin Bran, Frosted Mini Wheats, Corn Flakes, and Cheerios. Jamie, of those four, which one can you absolutely not justify picking?
Say it again.
Raisin Bran, Frosted Mini Wheats, Corn Flakes, Cheerios.
Corn Flakes.
No, Cheerios. Like, Cheerios are cardboard. It's little circular pieces of cardboard.
This is not working out for... Yeah, man. Regular Cheerios.
Yeah, that was your pick.
Yeah.
Jamie, what did you...
They're apparently good for your heart. I don't know. That's what they tell me.
They have a little heart on the box. Yeah, I could buy it. I would have gone Raisin Bran. Jamie, what do you got?
Oh.
I probably would have gone Cheerios as well.
Raisins are an abomination of inhumanity for everything, not just cereal, cookies, just anytime there's raisins involved, just pick it up, throw it in the garbage, and move on with your life.
Adam eats raisins all the time, right?
It's kind of a running joke that I'm raising awareness about how great they are. I eat them at least
that's
one.
That's such a terrible joke.
At least one pack a day. I think raisins could go with any food, add a raisin and it makes it better.
Okay, are you the regular or the goldens?
Regular.
Not crazy. Those raisins, he better be regular.
There was one point at the beginning of the pandemic where you couldn't buy anything, where I said, like, I don't have enough toilet paper to continue my raisins habit. But anyway, let's get back to free agency. Let's grade the transaction for the player involved. Give it a grade. Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington. So do you like it for the player? A, B, C, D, whatever you want to give it.
A plus. Okay. A plus. The dude was, we didn't know if he was going to retire. We didn't know if he was going to be a backup. And now he's like serviceable for fantasy.
Jamie, you can give grades as well, please.
Oh, A for sure.
Okay. Is he a top, going to be like a top 15 guy for you? Is he going to crack the top 15, Mike?
I don't know if you can say that because he has a habit of losing his job to backup quarterbacks. And so I can't guarantee that won't happen, but he is going to be like every week when you're giving your streaming quarterbacks of the week, the top of that list is going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes. Okay. When you have to do any sort of a start sit scenario, he is the perfect guy.
Or this guy,
because he will No, I'm saying like as you're writing a column or have to do those things, because he won't be rostered enough that you have to say it's obvious, but it'll be right in that little gray area where you can say every week, you know what? I don't know if you guys are missing. You got to start Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to light up the Giants for 4 touchdowns this week.
All right. Next up, New Orleans gives new contracts to Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. A double grade here.
Ooh, can I just say A and F? But I don't know who gets which report card yet.
Who do you want to see win it?
Jameis Winston, but that is just purely selfish because I held him on my dynasty roster through the entire year, just going, this is a waste of a spot, and I really hope that Jameis turns into the starter for the Saints.
All right. So I did the same thing on a dynasty league that, so we did a dynasty startup in the office about 5 years ago or so, and Adam didn't want to take part in it, but he had to look at the results for the show. So he is on the team with me. We share the team. But purely we just keep him on there so he has to get all the alerts.
Yeah, it's so
annoying. So it's the only reason he's still on the roster.
It's so annoying. But every now and then, like I could if I wanted to make trade offers for Jamie's team, things like that.
You could, but our team is so good, including rostering Jameis Winston forever.
I do think I changed the spelling of your name, and I don't think you realized.
That's funny. You couldn't have.
Yes, I could have. I did it.
No, different league you did that for.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's right, funny.
Are we moving on here? Let's go to Aaron Jones to Green Bay. You already said he's your winner, so we're going A there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Carson to Seattle.
It's another A. It's not an A if you were holding out hope that ETN or Najee Harris was going to end up in. Wait, no, I'll take that back. Seattle's crazy. They might do something like that. And that would just be a heart attack. I'm sorry that I spoke that into the universe, everybody. But with everything that happened, the change of the offensive coordinator, giving Chris Carson the money, and I congratulated him on the footballers, but I'm doing it again. 7th-round pick, get in the bag. Good for you, Chris Carson.
Yeah, really great career so far, and happy to see him back in Seattle. Kenyon Drake to the Raiders, that's an F.
Can I go F minus?
You can go. Absolutely. Chris Godwin back to the Bucs.
Oof. That one is tough. That's a TBD right now because who's going to be the third guy? Are they just going to roll with Tyler? Are they going to try and bring AB back? So I'll hedge a little bit. I'll give it a B.
Jamie,
I think it's an A. I mean, I think you've seen what he's done. Even with Antonio Brown still being a significant contributor down the stretch, and look. Mike Evans has battled some injuries lately, so if he has to miss time, I think the targets will still be there, even with Gronk there. I think Brady knows what he has. I think Arians knows what he has. I think that's why they kept him. So it just feels like, across the board, everybody that stayed is a winner. Mm-hmm. Everybody that left, you have some questions about.
Well, there's one person who was forced to stay. I would not call him a winner right now.
Oh, hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, he's next. Allen Robinson back to Chicago. What's your grade?
Free Allen Robinson is my grade. Like, come on, man. Get this guy a quarterback. I guess Andy Dalton's maybe an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky. So I'll give, and he'll still get a bunch of targets and he'll still be very valuable for fantasy. So the grade, I'll keep it at A-.
Jamie, good with that?
Yeah.
All right. This is where it gets fun. Kenny Golladay to the Giants, Mike.
Oh man. I'll go with a C+. I know the numbers speak kindly for Daniel Jones and his deep ball accuracy. He was one of the most accurate passers when going 20+ yards down the field. Like a very excellent Pro Football Focus grade on those throws as well. So we know that match exists, but it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen if Daniel Jones is going to be starting in 2 years.
Okay, so C+, that was what?
Yeah.
Holiday. Jamie?
Yeah, I was going to say C. I mean, like we talked about, I think it's one of those things where you're hopeful that Daniel Jones can maintain Galladay's value, that he gives him the chance to kind of do some of the same things that he did with Matthew Stafford, but you have to see it first. And I think that's the unknown for it. So
yeah, the hard part, you have to see it. You'll just have to jump in. You'll have to decide if you're fine with the draft ADP or not. And we haven't seen Daniel Jones with the true number one wide receiver. Does he go into force feed mode saying, oh, I know Kenny Golladay is going to come down with this, or does he just keep spreading the ball out because he has goodish players around him besides Kenny Golladay?
there just hasn't been enough of a stretch for Daniel Jones, and this is the predicament for the Giants, as you're obviously well aware, Adam, of healthy Saquon, healthy receiving core, competent offensive line, Daniel Jones the starter. We just don't know what this whole puzzle will look like. So, you know, it could be great. They could end up being the best team in the NFC East and keep that streak alive.
There you go.
Back-to-back winners.
I never read this yesterday. We were talking about the Giants offensive line yesterday, but this is from the New York Post. Andrew Thomas allowed the second most pressures in the NFL. Will Hernandez lost his starting job midway through last season and didn't play in the finale. Nick Gates was the number 27 ranked center by Pro Football Focus. Shane Lemieux was the NFL's lowest graded pass blocking guard. Matt Peart has one career start, and Nate Solder allowed the third most sacks in the NFL when he last played in 2019. And that, by the way, this was written before they lost their best offensive lineman, Kevin Zeitler, to the Ravens. So it is a really young line. But really bad.
Worse superhero than Gall Man?
Who?
Gettle Man.
Oh, we got him with the. I mean, how has no one done like the Emperor Lightning over Gettleman's meme of making fun of us typing on our keyboards?
Computer folks. All right, so I'll speed this segment up here. What do you like better? Who do you rank higher? Curtis Samuel with Washington or Juju Smith-Schuster back with Pittsburgh?
Curtis.
Jamie, who you got higher?
I still have Juju, but I can certainly see Curtis being better. You know, I mean, you're looking at clearly the Fitzpatrick factor and all the mouths to feed in Pittsburgh's offense. But as Pittsburgh loses defender by defender, we saw what that Cleveland playoff game looked like when Ben had to throw the ball 50 plus times. And their run game right now is a little bit suspect. So I wouldn't be surprised if Juju, like I said, the two outside numbers look good, 97 and 9. If we can get that yardage up just a little bit higher, Juju's going to have a good season. So hopefully that's where he ends up.
Jamie, do you still have Juju as the number two wide receiver for fantasy on Pittsburgh?
Behind Deontay, yes.
Okay.
You have Claypool ahead of him?
I would rather in the draft. I'd rather take the shot on Claypool taking a step.
Can certainly see it.
Just hear me out on this though. Deontay Johnson, the Claypool, they're both very young, right? But none of them have ever been as good as Juju Smith-Schuster. And I really wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the best of the three. I don't think anybody would be that shocked, right? I can't imagine they're super, super far apart in the rankings. But I'm becoming a Juju guy right now. I feel like people are going to be a little bit too low on him.
We might. That certainly could happen. But the problem has just been the increase of slot snaps. Like he is,
yes.
he's devolved now into someone who could produce. Both and you know, like they put him in the slot, get him, you know, like some they put Julio Jones in the slot, we get excited. But if you say someone is permanently a slot wide receiver, they lose fantasy value. And like Deontay is an elite separator, Chase Claypool is an athletic freak. Like Juju's, there was a reason why Juju's hit his like all time high for snaps inside of the slot, and I think a huge reason of he didn't find anybody who wanted to give him money because. The NFL teams aren't going to overpay for a slot wide receiver.
Yeah, he was so good. He was always a slot receiver, but not to the degree that he was last year. All right.
Well, I mean, this is more about Ben, I think, than anything else. You know, it's a guy that doesn't want to stand back there and take hits and take chances down the field. So, you know, let's get the ball out quick, and that's where Juju lives.
And what do you think about Will Fuller? How would you rank him with Curtis Samuel, Galladay, and Juju?
I'd put him ahead of Juju. Man, he is the toughest one for me. I was not impressed at all with Tua. I'm not impressed with Tua's desire to throw the ball down the field. And I know that he had some really good shots downfield that were dropped by his receiver. So it's nice to have Will Fuller there. And Fuller seems like the more a player that Tua would like more than Devontae Parker of, you know, Parker doesn't separate. You just have to throw the ball and hope that he's going to get it. Meanwhile, Tua's looking, he's a younger quarterback, so he's looking for the open receiver, and Will Fuller can be that guy. So I think that match might be a little bit better. I think Will Fuller could easily step in and be the number one guy, and you're just hoping that there's enough volume there that props him up, and you're also hoping that last year's real breakout had nothing to do with his decision to modify his body?
It's just, it, you know, this is the seller's time for Will Fuller, because they're still in the range, whether they stay at three or trade down, of adding another receiver. And so sure, if you're in a dynasty league right now, this is the time to be shopping Will Fuller to the people that are still excited about what he did last year and hoping that he could be the number one in Miami and still produce at that level. Because Mike's right, this is the perfect guy for Tua, for what his skill set is. You know, I mean, you think about what he was at Alabama, everybody was wide open, you know, and so
right,
Fuller is going to give him those type of opportunities, and hope he takes, you know, like we talked about Daniel Jones, you know, hopefully he takes the next step with better pieces around him. But if they add a Devontae Smith or a Waddle or, you know, Jamar Chase or any of those guys at the top of the draft, then this is terrible for Fuller. So you should be selling him and Parker now if you can.
All right, we're going to take a break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we'll talk about a few signings. Josh Reynolds to the Titans, DeSean Jackson to the Rams, and fantasy superlatives to finish off the show as well. So we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back here with Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers, Jamie Eisenberg of CBS, learning so much about Jamie today. He is a serial addict. And not only that, he's an 8-year-old serial addict, because he doesn't eat any of the healthier non-sugary cereals.
Okay.
At least get the organic brand like I do, Jamie.
Oh, no. Wait, what are the organic Cheerios?
They're just like O's. I don't know. From, you know, they're like an organic cereal company that makes like an O-shaped cereal. And that, those are Cheerios, you know? But Jamie eats a lot of cereal, never knew this. And he's like an 8-year-old kid.
I'm probably going to have a bowl of cereal after this.
What are you going to have? Why are you not going to have Golden Grahams? Why have we not brought up Golden Grahams
once?
Love
Golden Grahams.
Yeah, they're the
love
best. They're the Tom Brady of cereals.
They're the best.
I think they are, yeah.
They didn't make that DraftKings list.
Ridiculous. Like, Cheerios was in tier 4, and Golden Grahams didn't even make it. Well, is tier 1 the best? I guess tier 1's the best, right? But that's the thing. Like, it was a very inconsistent list, because some
of
the
tier
4.
Do you know how tiers work?
I said it out loud. But what was in tier 1?
That came out of your mouth.
What was in tier 1 again? Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah,
Cinnamon Toast.
That deserved to be. I mean, Golden
Grahams. To be fair, Fruit Loops should have been in tier 1, because Fruit Loops is the best cereal of all time.
That's what confused me.
Are you going marshmallows or no marshmallows?
I mean, I can go both, but I like the classic. I just like the loops.
Marshmallows, same. Jamie. You're 8 years old. Marshmallows.
That's what I had this morning.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, our news and notes. Tennessee signed Josh Reynolds, and the Rams signed DeSean Jackson. Jamie, do either of these players have legit fantasy value?
If the Titans are done, which I can't imagine they're done because of what they lost, but this is a good signing. You know, I mean, this is a guy that we've talked about, you know, time and time again about. If he got an opportunity, if he got set free, if he had a chance, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now he's got that opportunity and he's been set free. It's just, you know, not a high volume passing offense. But, you know, there's no Corey Davis. There's no Jonnu Smith. You know, you can tell me all you want to about Anthony Firkser and the potential that he has. I don't care. There's still, you know, Adam Humphries is gone as well. So they're not going to throw the ball a lot, but he has a chance to, you know, I think get close to 70 receptions. And what he does with that, you know, could be fun.
And the Texans signed Chris Conley. Mark Cabali of The Athletic says it's hard to imagine Benny Snell sitting atop the Steelers depth chart to start the season. So expect a move there for the Steelers in their backfield. And the Giants signed cornerback Adoree Jackson to a 3-year, $39 million deal. Gettleman strikes again. Yeah, that's not
good. You know, look, when you see somebody in your division sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, you build a secondary to stop Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I got to tell you about the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Now is the time to listen. Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander are going to continue to provide breakdowns and daily recaps as we enter the second weekend of the tournament. If you want the best March Madness analysis, subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast anywhere you find this one. And we will finish up with our fantasy superlatives. All right. Most likely to be a bust, part one. Jamie, I'll give you the first word. Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, or Cheerio? Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, or Saquon Barkley? Who's the most likely to be a bust?
Oh, boy, man. I hate to say Alvin Kamara, but, you know, you saw a small sample size of what it was with Taysom Hill and, you know, just the receptions going in the toilet. And so if that's going to happen again, it's going to be hard to justify taking him as high as he's going to be taken, especially in PPR. But, you know, I'm still going to take him there, but you know, that's the one of the trio that you could see without injuries having a letdown or being a letdown.
Okay, so you say Kamara most likely to be a bust. Henry, Kamara, or Barkley, Mike?
Of those three, I'd say Barkley. Just if the offense doesn't work, and you ran through that offensive line,
it's really good.
And the I don't remember the numbers. This was a couple years ago, but just breaking down Barkley of like he either ran the ball 60 yards or he was running the ball for about 2 yards a carry. And if that, like, Barkley is a freak. I mean, we're playing a silly game right now of who busts of elite running backs, but if that big play ability regresses at all because he's coming off the ACL, then I would say him of those three.
Okay.
I like that Mike has gotten in the spirit of just hating the Giants like everybody else when it comes to talking to you.
And hating the question. You know, it's a silly question. By the way, like, I just did a Google image of the word tier. And sometimes tier four is at the top. So, you know, like it goes 1, 2, 3, 4. So that could
What's your
been
source?
Google images.
We have a fantasy football show. Why do we need to Google this?
You know what you should do? Keep scrolling down because tears is what our listeners have right now after going through the explanation.
Okay, let's go to our next one. Most likely to be a bust part two. Slightly less than elite running backs. Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor. Most likely to be a bust part two. Chubb, Elliott, Taylor. Jamie, go ahead.
I guess it's probably Taylor just based on the expectations of everyone expecting him to be as great as he was a year ago. Bringing back Marlon Mack, if he's healthy, you know, we could see what this actually was supposed to look like last year. They did lose their left tackle. Carson Wentz was a disaster last year. So, you know, again, of those guys, Zeke, I don't think will be worse than he was a year ago, barring injury. And Chubb, you know, he managed to exceed, I think, some expectations with Kareem Hunt on the roster for a full season. So, I'll go with John Till.
Mike?
And I would agree. It would be Carson Wentz related.
Mike, let me, quick sidebar. Tell me how you would deal with this. Jamie and I are doing a fantasy baseball draft right now. And, crap. I just screwed up so bad.
Yes. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he is face palming.
Is it worse than taking the pitcher that's elbows about to explode?
I backed out too many picks. Oh, man. He took Altuve. All right, good. We're all good. So one of the fantasy managers who has the first pick, a few nights ago, and we're doing a slow draft, so it's taken days, right? A few nights ago, he texted me about 1:45 in the morning and said he took the wrong player. So there was that. He said he fat-fingered it, and he took the wrong player on the app. Just now,
how long after the pick was the oops, I screwed something up?
I don't know, but it was 1:45 in the morning, so I know the guy who's picking after him wasn't going to pick. So it was fine. I backed it out. But now he just texted me and said he got auto picked. So that is now three of his first five picks, he screwed up. Yeah, you know, like, what do I do at this point? You know, I backed it out, but I let him do it again.
How many picks did you back out?
Well, I backed out his two, and then I actually I backed out the one before him as well. So that was a mistake. But
what's the auto pick? What's the timer? 8 hour?
Three.
3 hour?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd back it out. Hopefully, it's just a series of unfortunate events. But there's certainly a 3 hour chunk where you could be on the clock and not realize and get stuck doing something.
He's one of our producers on CBS Sports HQ, so this is a crazy time for him with March Madness.
It's true.
And so give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, right, all right. I shamed him on the air. I think that's enough. All right, most likely to break it, but I didn't say Jack's name. That's the important thing. Most likely to break out. Mike, you can go first here. Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or DeAndre Swift? Akers, Dobbins, Edwards-Helaire, Swift. Most likely to break out.
I have a unhealthy belief that Cam Akers is going to break out and be a stud. I think he's a good running back, and I think that his coach is really willing to give somebody just an absolute monster workload that a human being probably should not have in the NFL, but he's willing to give it to him. Meanwhile, these other guys are in real timeshare situations. Not that I dislike them, but I think Akers at the end could be someone who's 70%+ of the Rams opportunities at the running back position.
And Jamie?
Cosign.
100%.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. Most cereal bros. Yes, bros.
Hey, we were Blake Jarwin bros last year too. And then...
that's right. Oh no.
Wasn't a bad call.
Again.
Wasn't a bad call. Most likely to wish.
Is a bad. Did you say it was a bad call?
No, I said it wasn't. It wasn't a bad call.
Oh,
no,
okay. No.
Yeah. Most likely to wish he were on a different team. Most likely to wish he were on a different team. Kenny Golladay, Allen Robinson, or Raheem Mostert. Mike, you can go
Mostert,
first.
Really?
Well, you know, they never get that much work. They split all the time. Those Niners backs.
That's fair. I will say I'll say Kenny Golladay. Just like if things start going bad in New York. I don't know how human beings can handle that. You're just getting assaulted, not just by New Yorkers, but you're also getting assaulted by all New York media because it's now your fault.
And New Jersey people, too.
Yeah.
Jamie, Golladay, Robinson, Mostert, most likely to wish he were on a different team.
I just like that Mike's continuing the theme, hating on the Giants. I would go Robinson. You should have put one of the Raiders running back there instead of Mostert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well... okay, good call. Most likely to be drafted in the first two rounds in 2022. T. Higgins, Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore. T. Higgins, Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore. Jamie.
Wait, 2022, like next year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll go Higgins.
What was the last name?
DJ Moore. Higgins, Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore.
Yeah, most likely would be T. Higgins, but DJ Moore, man. With Curtis Samuel out of the way, DJ Moore, did anyone have a quieter yet awesome year than DJ Moore in fantasy football?
Well, but that's interesting. I would love to know where he comes out on your consistency chart because that was the issue with him.
I can try and pull some numbers up for you.
He was a victim of high expectations too. You know, I think that was part of it, is that everybody was in the industry was touting DJ Moore as this is going to be the year he blows up. And Robbie Anderson had the fast start, and then Curtis Samuel had the finish. And DJ Moore was just kind of a victim of, you know, hey, he's good, but he just didn't live up to, oh my God, he's good.
Right, but in 15 games, he put up 1,200 yards.
Oh, yeah. He was. It's always the touchdowns with him, though. I mean, that's
yeah, be the, only four.
The yeah, well, when you think that, about this, if a team threw 33 touchdown passes, that would be pretty reasonable this day and age in the NFL. And that's how many the Panthers have thrown in their last two seasons combined. And he has
that's a hot stat.
And he has eight of them. So he's not catching a lot of touchdowns, but they've thrown like 17 and 16 touchdowns. I don't remember the breakdown, but 17 in 2019, 16 in 2020. He's got like 25% of their touchdowns basically. And it's just, they just don't throw enough. So hopefully that can change.
I think one thing that obviously changes that, and they're, you know, in the trade market for Deshaun Watson, not to overlook anything that's going on with him off the field, but if he's a member of the Carolina Panthers and everything is fine, then DJ Moore could have that type of season that makes him a first round pick in 2022. Or if they end up with, you know, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, which is going to be something that you're going to have to, you know, listen to for the next month, that could change things as well. You know, if one of those guys elevates the offense and elevates DJ Moore as well.
And nobody said Lamar Jackson. He's already been drafted in the second round. So it would just take him bouncing back. Maybe people would put him up in that stratosphere again.
Well, see, we could have cheated and said, well, if this is a super flex league or two quarterback league, then it's easy.
That he's a first rounder. All right. Coach most likely to kick Jamie's ass if they ever got into a fight. Robert Saleh, Dan Campbell, or Brian Flores? Like, who does Jamie do the worst against?
Oh, man. Saleh's an intense dude.
Yeah, he really is.
But, like, Campbell has a real high T thing going on up in Detroit. I mean, like, we were introduced to him back on the podcast, you know, in Miami when he took over, and he took over as interim coach. Like, I couldn't even remember his name, but I just knew that he was super buff, and I called him Guns Mahoney, and like that caught on back then. So he is known as Guns Mahoney. So it just for my brand and his level of testosterone, I'll go with Campbell and the kneecap comment.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's dirty fighter.
So Mike, where this came from? I watch games every Sunday with Pete Prisco, who covers the NFL for us. And by the way, he's an ASU grad, so he's been out in your neck of the woods for some time. Loves Arizona. And so Pete is an old school NFL guy, you know, very well connected around the league, but has some crazy thoughts every now and then when we're watching games because, you know, it's long days. And something came up about, you know, which coach would you rather fight or not want to fight? And this was around Flores and Saleh before they were head coaches. But it's which one do you think you actually have a chance against? And so, like, the first name that came to mind for me was Vic Fangio. And Pete was like, you know, he's an old school guy. He'll kick your ass. but, you know, like, you're looking for older, not the opposite of Dan Campbell, essentially, is what you're, you know, looking at. And so which one do you think you actually would have a chance against if you're looking at an NFL coach?
Of all the coaches?
Yeah. Head coaches.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think I could probably take Cliff.
Stop lying about Chase Edmonds.
That's a handsome man. I don't know that he's been in many fights. Not that I've been in a grand total of zero fights in my life. But I've watched plenty of jujitsu. I could do it.
Do you watch Cobra Kai, by the way?
I don't. It's on the list of shows.
It's hot garbage. Don't do it.
It's hot garbage.
Awful.
It's great. Okay, so I need to watch it.
It's so bad. Oh my! And I've rooted for like my wife because I've pointed out how bad it is, and now she sees it and she's like, she can't really watch Cobra Kai anymore because I pointed out all the badness of it.
Yet as a child, he had the crane kick poster in his in his bedroom.
I've seen Karate Kid many times, and by the way, Guns Mahoney. How do you? That's obviously makes you think of Police Academy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because he was Steve Guttenberg. I think was pretty ripped in Police Academy. So all right, just making sure
he was. Well, that part I don't remember.
I feel like he was, and I watched it a few weeks ago, so I really should know this. I feel like he was a little.
He makes Adam's list of top 10 most buff Jews. So yeah.
Interestingly enough, I am also on that list. All right, that's Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers. Just check out all their content. It's really outstanding. And the 2021 Ultimate Draft Kit is available now on their website. And their podcast is awesome. They're award winners. Great guys. And we appreciate it. You can follow him at FF Hitman on Twitter. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, I was glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me again.
Thanks, Mike.
Jamie, later, dude. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you later in the week on Fantasy Football Today.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.